This afternoon, our brother Steve is going to lead us through today's session.
It's really been a delightful thing to go through these topics together. Let's turn to Romans, where we'll have a verse to start with today. As Tim has commented, we are looking at this idea. We have been looking all week at this idea of contagious Christianity. And the first subject or aspect of that was that there's been transformation. When there's transformation, there is contagion, if we might use those parallel words. The idea that this just spreads. It is attractive. It is attention-getting by those who don't know the source. And to be honest, even by those who do know the source, not all Christians are contagious Christians, and we want to really live out the benefit of that, or the truth of that transformation. And then we also had talked about growth, the process of growth, the conditions that are suitable for that. Thirdly, the topic of perseverance. Yesterday, the subject of sanctification and how these things contribute to contagious Christianity. Our subject today is peace and relationships. And as we'll see, there's a little different approach we want to take, or a different characteristic of this subject. We'll look at it together. But first, go to Romans chapter 5 for something about peace that will sort of start us off, although this is not the aspect of peace we're going to emphasize. I just want to use this as a way to get started. Actually, just turn back before we read a verse in chapter 5. Look back at chapter 3. And if you think back in your mind all the way to Romans chapter 1, where it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The righteousness of God is displayed. And so now what are people going to do? They've forgotten God. He's given them up to all of their diverse and perverse lusts and desires and plans, and they've left him out. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They've just left God out. It's what naturalism is. Our world is completely characterized by this. And so then there's these moral people, you know, in chapter 2, there's these moral people. And there's other people who keep the law because they've received it from God himself through the nation of Israel. But you get to chapter 3, verse 19, the middle of verse 19, the second half, nobody has anything to say. The world is guilty before God. Nobody has any hope. And then there's the certainty that all have sinned in verse 23. But then there's this beautiful turning point that there is the redemption in Christ Jesus. And then there is the example, or the series of examples in chapter 4 of how it is by faith. It is not by morality. It is not by law-keeping or tradition. And you go through chapter 4 and these various aspects of Abraham's, Abraham as an example. It wasn't by his tradition. It wasn't by his righteousness. It was by his faith. So then, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine you're these Romans who got this letter from Paul, and they've heard something about the teachings of Christianity. These are believers. Someone's reading this letter to them. Probably they are gathered together to receive. Somebody has received this epistle. It's been delivered. And someone says, we have a letter from Paul the Apostle. We've never met him, but we know how God has been using him. Let's get together such and such a day and time. Probably it's in the evening. You know, they're working. Nobody's saying, well, you can have a Christian day off. So now here they are. They've had a hard day work. And they're listening to chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it's just not getting any better. And then they hear that there's this opportunity that God has provided, a way of escape, a way of acceptance, that there is this Jesus Christ, the Savior, in whom they've trusted. He is God's way, and they've not trusted in vain. And then they get to Romans chapter 5. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just imagine the smiles spreading across the room of the people who are gathered hearing this. Peace with God. It's tremendous. What does that mean to have peace with God? It's confidence. It's a settled assurance. There's nothing to earn. There's nothing to worry about. God has declared that there's peace. We're justified by the Savior He provided. He Himself has accepted that Savior's work. We have peace with God. It's just a beautiful thing to imagine the calm that would come to those believers. And really, it accomplishes the same thing, or it should accomplish the same thing in our hearts. It's a beautiful verse even to hold out to unbelievers. Everybody wants peace with God. If once we are honest and say there must be a God, there must be a spiritual aspect to our being, how can a man be justified before God, said Job? How can we have any confidence? How can we have any standing? It's more than just we have standing before Him. We have peace with God. And there are many very significant verses that speak about the fact that we have peace with God, and the fact that we have not only peace for salvation, but also that He gives us peace in an ongoing way. But we don't want to speak just of that, or really primarily of that today. The thought is to recognize that this is also the characteristic that we have with one another as believers. So this is how today's topic is different from the first four sessions, because they emphasize our individual development as believers, whereas this one can only be displayed in Christian community. What is it like to be part of, to be in community with fellow believers? It is what God has intended. It is what God has designed us for. The human race is inherently a social race. And just as evidence of that, you can just look at how many different clubs there are in your town for all kinds of different things. People like to share their common interests. And so you can have a book club about this, and you can have a hobby club and all kinds of other clubs. In your schools, there are probably language clubs and clubs for people of various ethnic backgrounds or various interests in politics and all kinds of things. You know, we associate based on these common interests. In the Church of God, it's completely different in one way, because we, in many ways, because we don't have those common interests that bind us. It's the fact that God has baptized us into one body. And now in our local gatherings of believers, we have the opportunity to display what it's like to be in Christian community with one another when we can't rely on all these other common factors. You know, Tim likes motorcycles and I like rabbits. What are we going to talk about together? There's nothing in common like that. I don't know if you like motorcycles.
Well, we'll talk about that statement first of all.
But there's something else much deeper that instantly binds us. And we have the opportunity then to display, when there's no common characteristic, humanly speaking, naturally speaking. We have many other things in common, no doubt. We both kind of like the same shirts, but... our wives dress us both, actually.
Now that's a true statement.
But we don't have to rely on those things to bind us. So let's go now to 1 Thessalonians